Fine. So let's start again from the beginning. So Divrei Amos Asher Yavan Ogdim Mitko Asher Chazal Yisrael Bimei Uzi Yamel Yudam Yeravam Ben Yoash Melch Yisrael Shnatayim Lefnei Arash. We talked about this introduction last week. And then in Pasuk Bet is when you get the Pticha. Vayomar Adonai Mitzion Yishag Yerushalayim Yitein Kolov Avlune Ot Haroim V'Yavesh Rosh HaKarmel. So God is going to roar like a lion, which is just a wonderful... It's just a wonderful image, I've got to say. It's just a wonderful image.
How do you picture that?
What?
How do you picture God roaring like a lion?
I don't know. Have you met a lion?
Yeah, but like, how do you picture God doing that?
What's the problem? I don't understand. What's the problem?
It's a beautiful image.
It's a beautiful image. You're not... Why not? I like it. What? You don't like the image?
I just don't understand how you picture God.
Oh my God, he's getting very Rambam right now.
Okay, and the pastures and the shepherds will mourn, and the top of the Carmel will wither. Great. Now, Targum Yonatan here understands these phrases as talking about, as being al derech mashal, that he's talking about the palaces of the kings and the fortified cities will melt. The Ibn Ezra says, no, it's exactly what it sounds like. It's the shepherds, and all he's saying is that there will be destruction, and if there, and why then does Amos describe the destruction in the terms of the shepherds' mourning? Why is that like the image he picks? Because he is, right? He's a bakar, right? He's a cowboy, he's a shepherd of sorts, and therefore, the animal herders being the ones who suffer.
So it's the idea of like the shelter that like he sees the voice.
Correct, and that's exactly. And this voice, Pashtus, is coming from where? What does it mean, Sion? So not just Yerushalayim, but probably as Rashi points out, Rima Lagensi points out, is the Mikdash or even the Kodesh Hakadashim, right? That God's voice is emerging from there, but it's not a good thing. It is not a good thing that God is roaring from the Kodesh HaKadoshim.
Is roaring ever used?
Now, the Abar Manel has a very interesting comment here. And he says that this is basically how all prophecy comes, right? That the Shefa comes through the Aron. Right, as he says, he quotes Rashi. Then he's v'inyan shviot shama shchina. Since the shchina is there, va'aron brit Hashem misham hayta yotze hanevuah lekol hanevi'im. But just like you have in the Mishkan, that God's voice is yotze b'makruvim. So he says that's really how everything. It somehow emerges from there. Magia shefa bekalu b'mtzod ha'aron. That the shefa the whatever, right, the overflow of God's spirit, as it were, comes through the Aron, and he quotes that this is the position of the Ran.
What about the...
And then he says something else, that even people who aren't necessarily worthy of Nevuah will get it, and he says that's the image of the roaring, that everyone hears a lion roar, and that's the image. Because we're going to see later, where does he get this idea that people, that the, that, no, that, that the image of a Navi, sorry, of a God roaring like a lion is that people will get Nevuah even if they're not Ra'ui. Where does he get such a crazy idea? Yeah, but he's saying this in context of Amos. Why does he think it's relevant in Amos? Because Amos is going to say it in Paragimel. Because Amos has a beautiful pasuk when he comes back to this in Paragimel. Pasuk Chet. Just read it. 1 second. No, wait, I have an Amos in front of me. What am I doing? Wait, let me open it. I'm trying to have more than one open. But he says there, Aryeh Sha'ag mi lo yira, Adonai Elohim diber mi lo yinave. If a lion roars, who will not fear? And if God speaks, who will not prophesy? Right, so he says what that means is that that people will prophesy even if they don't really deserve it, and that's the, where does he get the idea that that's what a lion roaring is? Because that's what the pasuk says, that just like when a lion fears, it's inevitable that you will fear. So then it is inevitable that people will prophesy. Mi lo yinave, who wouldn't get prophecy.
According to the Barbanel, what about the Nevi'im in the second base of Megdash when the Aron was hidden?
Say it again?
According to the Barbanel, what about the Nevi'im in the second base of Megdash when the Aron was hidden?
So it's hidden, but that doesn't mean it's not there. I assume now that there aren't really Nevi'im then, right? That's the end. It's the squeezing out the end of Nevi'im.
There was still, from the time it was hidden until the end of the Nevi'im, there's still time.
Somewhat. Yeah, right? It's not gone.
Where is it
okay, so now we introduce these, the three-pronged... right now we introduce the three... pronged, the 3-4, and this is a very, this is a very standard image, right? A very, very standard image of 3 and 4 in the ancient Near East, of, right, this ascending by 1, right, but Chazal take it as Dafka, right, that this isn't just a statement of, 3 and 4, but what ahead of Chazal understand it, right? That you'll only be forgiven for 3, but not for 4.
About 3 specific errors or 3 points in history where the Jews did errors.
Well, we're not talking about Jews.
Or that errors were done.
Right, and this is what Rashi quotes, right? This is the tradition that Rashi is basing himself on, which is I'll just read you, right? Dichtiv Hain Kol Eila Yifalo Pamim Shaloshim Gaver Vim Yoter Mikan Kachu Kfar Nahakim Hem Kimi Dutad Lefater Lema Shalosh Mamim Vim Yesh Yoter Kol Shken Yesh Bechalal Meruba Hamuat Val Arba Lo Hashivenu Al Pisher Revi'i Eina Lai Od Lahashivo Rekam Lahashiv Lo Gmul. The first 3 times I might forgive you, the 4th time God always, there have to be consequences, right? So that is what Chazal, so that, and Rashi follows Chazal in this throughout. Again, the linguistically, we know that in the ancient world, there was this shitat, they call it here, shitat ha-misparim ha-meduragim, the way of numbers in steps, right? That you would say, but again, Chazal take it as dafka, which is you would have been forgiven for 3, but because I can identify 4 sins.
Is it 3 different types or 3 different events of sinning?
So it seems to be 4 different sins, but they go back to the same theme. Right, but again, the pshat, the pashtanim, say no, it's not dafka 3-4, it's a lot, right? You're sinning
a lot.
Alternatively, the Ibn Ezra connected to the door of VE, right? The idea that fourth generation, right? Again, punishment can go that that far. So the first 3 times I would, have accepted tshuva. By the 4th time, yeah, that's not. Having, again, this is going to be the standard of how we're going to say it for everyone. We're going to do this for Damesek. We're going to do it for, eventually, for Yisrael. But we have a long way to go. We're going to go geographically. Very interesting. We're going to go around the map. As you watch, you'll see. Correct. It's not just random. We're actually just going to follow all their borders. Right? And we're just going to... It's that he's talking about every enemy. So he starts. Come on, Adonai. Al shlosha pishei damesek v'alarbav lo ashivenu al dusham b'charutzot ha-barzel ha-dagilat. So sin 1. What's sin 1? They threshed Gilad with iron. So what exactly does that mean? Right. So this is part of Nachalat Yisrael. Specifically on the east side of the Jordan, right? And they, Damesek, conquered them. And we know there are wars there. We have records of wars with Achav there. And that when they fought there, they didn't just fight. But they treated them quite harshly. Right. Alternatively, the Ibn Ezra says maybe they drove the Jews from Gilad. Okay, and we could spend forever trying to figure out all their sins, but then we'll never get out of Amos. What? I mean, look, we can go through some of their sins of what it is. So we get fine. Mishavarti b'riach damesek v'chrati yoshev migat avim namachshevet mibet edim negalu im aram kira amar Adonai. No, sorry, did I skip a pasuk? Yeah, sorry. Pasuk v'shalach the esh mibet chazel v'achlar ben adad. I'm going to send fire into Beit Chazael, right? He's the king, and he's obviously the one who's carrying it out. So we're going to now. Is it fire? Rimuel against? He says no. That means I'm going to send Ashur against them. Tilglad Paleser, Melech Ashur against them. Radak assumes that as well. That whom Mashal Al Ha'Oyev, that the punishment, and that's the Abarbanel says it's that way as well. Specifically, Ashur. The Abarbanel, interestingly, claims, he quotes the possibility that it's Ashur, and then he says, however, there are people who disagree and say that what's the fire? Charon af Hashem. It's the wrath of God. Who does he quote it from? The Chachmei HaNotzrim, the Christians, say that it is Charon af Hashem. And then he says, the Ainza Rachok Mimashe Pirashti. He says the truth is that's not so different than what I said, that it's about the enemies. Vishavarti Brich Tabasak Prati Yoshim Vikar Avim Tomek Shevit Mibereden, Vigalu Maram Kira Mar Adonai, and then they'll break the bar of Damascus, meaning they'll lose power, that's what Rashi says. And they'll be cut off. The one who has the scepters, and they'll go into captivity, into Kir. And again, everyone goes in similar directions, right? That they're going to be conquered, they're going to lose power, right? Slight variations, but the point is that they will lose power, whether that means through Assyria or because of God's wrath. Right? Whether you think the wrath is Ashur or the fire is God's wrath, the result is that they're losing power because they're being destroyed by the enemy, right? Whatever you think the mashal is, whether it's directly referring to the enemy, or it's indirectly referring to the enemy. The point is basically the same, that they will lose power. Okay, so that's Pasuk Hey. Then in Pasuk Vav, Zayin and Chet, you get the same thing for Azza. Now, if you look at the map, so where are we going now? Damascus is north, and now we're going south on the west, right? So call my other night Shlosha Pishe Azav Al Balo Shivenu Al Haglotam Galut Shlema Lazgir Le'edom, that they carried away the whole community into captivity to deliver them to Edom. So now who lives in Azah? The Plishtim, very good. So now we're talking about the Plishtim. And the problem is that they turn over the Jews to Edom, right? So they're right in the wars. It's not just that they fight us. Interestingly, we don't directly criticize them for fighting us directly, but rather for being cowardly, giving us up to other enemies. The Radak assumes that this only happened in Beit Sheni because he thinks that it's Edom specifically under Titus Harasha, under Titus, and then the Plishtim gave up the Jews, which is interesting. Not necessarily. Right. It could just be... what? No, right? It's a prophecy. The symbol pshat... Right, the symbol pshat is that, look, they were our enemies a lot, and at some point they may have captured some cities and sold us as slaves or something like that, right? That's how Dot Mikra takes it, that at some point they took some sort of... they took some city, right? They were our number one enemy for a good part of of let's say Sefer Shoftim, and they sold us fine, and that's particularly egregious. It's not just that you fought us, like you treated us subhuman. So what's the punishment? Again, I will send fire in its walls. So either that's the Oyev or it's the wrath of God. And they will consume the palaces. Vichrati Yoshev Meashdov, Tamekshev Mashkom, Jidia Dial Akron, Vavdushir Plishim, Amar Adonai Elohim. So I will destroy and get rid of everyone who's living in, and it goes to the main cities, Ashkelon and Ekron. And all the remnants will be lost, so says God. Now the Abarbanel just points out that he thinks that based on this, Amos is after Yoel, because he doesn't prophesy by Tzur and Sidon, because that apparently already happened, whereas the Plishtim did not. Okay. Then in Pasuk Tet, you get the next on Tzur. Now, Tzur is where? North, also, like, this northwest.
Yeah, so it's going
right?
back up again.
Yeah, but right, what you're going to see is we're going to go around. It's not just like going straight around, but what we're doing is we're going to get, right, we're going to get everybody basically around. That they gave us over to Edom and they didn't remember the Brit Achim. Now, which Brit Achim? So Rashi says, you should know this, Dovi. Which Brit Achim did Tzor forget, according to Rashi? Between Shlomo and Hiram. Because they called each other Achi.
Yeah.
Right? There was closeness between Israel and Hiram in the time of David and Shlomo. And that's how the Rikara takes it as well. So does the Ibn Ezra in his first pshat. But he says, Ein ze pshat, rak derech ha-doresh, ki lo yamachum klal, v'enu shav rak al-edom. So Ibn Ezra says, no. The problem with Tzor is not that they were brothers with us, but that they sold us off to our brother. Right? And that, he says, what's the pshat? Is they saw that Edom had a sibling rivalry and therefore hated us more than anybody else, right? It was that unique sibling rivalry, and Tzor took advantage of that. But they took advantage. They're not even part of the family. It's don't get involved. Right? According to Ibn Ezra, the pshat is don't get involved in family politics. You know, you are not part of the family. Get out. But the truth is, he says that's not pshat. But like the Rimi Balagensi, who's a radical Pashtun, also assumes that this is Hiram. It's not just Rashi, right? It's a very plausible pshat. And the Radak, just like he did before, says, no, this is Bayit Sheni. Again, right? Because it's talking about Edom, it must be that it's talking about Bayit Sheni.
There were a lot of Romans in Tyre also, right?
There were Romans, you know, a lot.
There. They had a giant like blockade for
The Malbim also assumes that this is going back to Hiram and Shlomo. So again, their punishment is Vishilach Deish Bechamatzor Vachlar Menotel. You're going to burn down their cities and their castles. So the next one is Edom. Edom is where? Is east, right? It's to the east. So Komar Adonai al Shlosha Pishe Edom Val Arba Lo Ashivenu al Rodfo Vacherav Achi Vishichet Rachama Vayitrof Laad Apo Vevrato Shamra La Netzach Shamra Netzach. So now it clearly he is the brother that he pursued his brother by the sword and cast off all pity, and his anger rage continually kept his wrath forever. Right. So there seems to be that the sin is the particular egregiousness of hating your brother that much. Radak says, Yesh Mefarshim al Esav Yaakov. This might be literally, the original. That this is. Yeah. The Yesh Mefarshim al Yisrael Edom Midbar. Some say it was in the Midbar, also very past tense. And again, he says, Hanachon is the Romans. And here, the Malbim, who didn't say that before, also thinks it's the Romans. And thinks that we're looking forward in time, which is also very interesting, right? That we're not necessarily saying that they were already punished. It's they're going to be worse. I don't know how this is quite comforting. Is your enemies are going to be worse in the future, and God will punish them then. But first, to let it happen.
Like we were saying last time we spoke, where.
But our Barbanel says no. It could be Bayit Rishon. It gives different possibilities. He says could be Bayit Sheni, but it could also be Bayit Rishon that we had some You know, that we just had some things with.
Amos is coming in to like criticize all the enemies so that he becomes accepted amongst the Israelim.
Yeah.
What's the effectiveness of talking about future things that are going to happen?
Because they're, you know, you're saying that your enemies are going to be killed. It's, you know, great. I don't know. I mean, that's what it is, right? Vishalachti Eish B'Teiman V'Chlar Menot B'Tzra. And again, he'll send the fire and he will devour the strongholds in Teiman. Right? It's the south. It just means in the south. Of course, if you think it's Rome, so then you can start figure out exactly what we're talking about. But yeah, the Malbim assumes that this is some city in Edom. Or the whole Moshe just says, no, it's to the south of Eretz Israel. Teiman. Teiman means south.
Edom isn't the south of Eretz Israel.
Yeah, it is. It's to the southeast. Yisrael. Not Yehuda. Yisrael.
Oh.
Shal is northern kingdom. Oh, yeah. Vaday is to the south.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, we're not talking Eretz Israel. We're talking Yisrael. Malchut Yisrael, which is north. So then we get, Ko Amar Adonai Shlosha Pishei V'nei Amon Rav Bar Lo V'shenu V'alpikam Arot HaGil'ad L'man Yerchiv Et Gvulam. So they ripped open the pregnant women of Gilad so that they could expand their border. So Rashi assumes that maybe it's literal. They literally killed children, so there would be no one to claim inheritance. And that's what the Rikara says as well. The Ibn Ezra says that as the second possibility, that they were trying to make the Jews afraid to have children so that they could expand territorially unabated. But he says his first possibility is that it's Harim. It's the mountains, right? They would rip the mountains onwards. And this is the Ibn Ezra also in Perush 2. He has two Perushim and two in each Perushim. The Rima Balagensi assumes that, again, it's the pregnancy. They would literally rip open people's wombs because they were particularly cruel. The whole Moshe insists that's what it means, and that it does not mean because if it was just territorial expansion, he said, why would we hate them so much? Right? It's, you're trying to find what is it that God can't forgive. So he's like, well, it's the particular cruelty. But again, the Mefarshim go back, and these are basically the two Perushim. It's either simply they rip over the mountains and they territorial expansion, or no, they really ripped open pregnant women because they didn't want the Jews to reproduce so that they could have, so they could expand. And obviously, if that's the cruelty you're talking about, well, then they deserve for God to not forgive them at all. V'itzati eish b'chomat rabah, v'achlar menoteh b'truah b'yom milchama b'sar b'yom supah. So again, they'll be eaten on the day of war, on the day of the storm. And the last pasuk in this, v'alach malkam b'golahu v'sarav yachtav amar Adonai, and he will go in to Galut, the king, and the officers. And that brings us to the end of Perek Aleph, and then we'll see in Perek Bet that we pick up with Moav. Okay?